All right.
Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Medium Insights Hour brought to you by the Triple F, that is Forever Family Foundation, Signs of Life Radio. We gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on many topics related to consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka. I'm very excited to invite Joanne Gerber back to the show. She is a gifted, internationally recognized psychic medium who's known for her ability to bring out very evidential messages from those in the spirit world. She's demonstrated her abilities as a clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, a lot of clairs in there, attuning herself to the higher frequency, along with the effort of those in spirit in the spirit world to allow the spirit communication to take place. She's a research medium at Winbridge Institute, and she's also a certified medium with the Triple F and a member of the Triple F's advisory board. She's an ordained spiritualist minister and medium, and she lectures, teaches, classes, workshops, holds many demonstrations throughout the world, both live and online. Her website is joannegerber.com. That's like, if you Google it, it would be joannegerber.com. So if you just put that in your browser, you'll be able to definitely get into her website. So as always, we're not having any commercials, no interruptions. So sit back, curl up, nice blanket, pet or loved one. Have a drink on us. Let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. And by the way, as always, there's no readings happening tonight. The purpose of tonight is just to tap into Joanne's brain and see what makes her tick and see what makes mediums tick. And maybe just, you know, answer some questions that you guys have provided. And, you know, you guys are more than welcome to dial in if you have a question. The number to call, of course, is 1-888-627-6008 if you have any questions for our esteemed guest. So with all of that said, Joanne, welcome back to the show.
Good evening, Roman.
Hey, and how you doing?
Our listeners, doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I live in the Northeast, and over the summer we've been like inundated with rain. I can't even mow my
lawn. Yeah, same with Boston here, too.
And, yeah,
watching those hurricanes.
Kinda, yeah, you're a lot closer than we are, for sure.
But yeah.
We're supposed to have like 10 straight days of beautiful, high-pressure system, no rain. So I am looking forward to it. I took down my pool. Now where my pool used to be is now a fire pit. So I'm going to be making some fire pits and just, you know, having a beer, fire. It's one of the best therapies in the world.
I'll bring the marshmallows. How's that?
That's exactly like a plan. That's really good.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a beautiful time of the year now, that kind of easing into the fall. It's not quite cool and crisp yet. We can still enjoy some of the summery weather, because I think us technically we're not quite into fall yet, but soon it'll be here before we know it. But I love that time of year. It just feels like everything comes too fast, you know. Time just moves too quickly, it seems like. I don't know, some people say it's because we get older, but some people say the earth is moving faster, you know, which I believe it, both theories I do believe in. So, you know, it's why they say every day is a blessing. Do what makes you happy, be with people who make you happy, and just enjoy it and be grateful.
Oh yeah. When you get older, you don't have any more time for you know, to put up with BS, you know, you just want to just be happy. And
yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It's a big part of life is to be happy. That's what we're
I think know. So. And I think the more we become more secure with our own selves, the more we can say, you know, I don't need to be a part of that or that energy anymore. I can do this and be part of something else or not part of something else, you know. And I think that is wisdom. That's wisdom. What I'm learning.
Yeah.
Wisdom. And I really understand what that means as I get older.
Yeah, absolutely. Wisdom and confidence too. Just the
yes.
To say no to somebody or something if you don't like it. You know what I mean?
Simple. Exactly.
Absolutely. So yeah, the last time you were on the show, I think was like January of, well, I think 2022. So it's been a while, but a year since we last spoke.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're just going to pick up right where we left off. How does that sound?
That sounds great. I don't remember where we left off. It was
actually,
so long
you know
ago,
what?
If you remember, go ahead.
You know what? I do have. I make transcripts of all of our shows, and I keep them. So that's how I know it was like January 14th, and it happens to be my son's birthday, January 14th, and January 14th is also based on the old calendar, the Gregorian calendar. Sorry, the Julian calendar is the old calendar. That was New Year's, based on the old calendar. So, but they're changing all of that. You know, we follow the Gregorian calendar where Christmas is on the December 25th and, you know, New Year's is January 1st and all that kind of stuff. So it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. And it's all depends upon how we enjoy celebrating, right? What, you know, we don't have to go by the norm, so to speak, or the calendars. We can just enjoy it. We leave our Christmas tree up as long as we possibly can. We love getting a real tree and we don't take it down until it starts to droop a little bit. And we know that it's only a matter of time, short time. It's going to have to go out, but we just enjoy it so much, you know, the festivity.
Absolutely.
And people are also in a better mood. You know, sometimes they're not so much after the holidays when all the bills come rolling in. There's just definitely a change in energy shifting from before to after. But there's an excitement that builds. I think it comes in the fall and people get feeling happy and festive and they want to decorate. And, you know, I think, you know, for most people, but then there's a lot of people who also had tremendous losses, you know, in the fall and they miss their loved ones during the holidays too. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know? And that's where you guys can, you know, you mediums come in to help a lot with that because, you know, you kind of validate that there is, you know, there is something after we cross over, that our loved ones are still alive and they're still surviving. And, you know, just knowing that, you know, it's tough when you think about it, right? Because we're in a very physical world. And those of us that aren't mediums sometimes can have a very tough time just accepting that. Even though, you know, you can see it, but, and you can have proof and all of that. But if you're not exposed to it for a while, the doubts start creeping in again. You know what I mean? For a lot of people. And I'm really talking about myself here because my son crossed over many, many years ago, 12 years ago. And thank you. He would be giving me signs a lot, you know, when I needed it, you know, and I guess I don't need it as much anymore. So I'm not seeing as much of that. And it's just, you know, I wish I did, but you know, it is what it is. I'm not the creator here. So,
and you're absolutely right. You know, I totally agree with you. It is, you know, it's like when I do a reading and somebody is, you know, lost a loved one and they make the connection, an evidential connection, that there's no way they can deny that, you know, whatever the spirit spoke of, whether it be a memory or, you know, some objects that loved one has that they've been recently looking at, whether energy is connecting to that, whatever it is that validates it, it's still really hard for people to process that we're still okay, even though we're not in a physical body, because we're so physically dependent on each other, physically needy as humans, you know, even since the day we're born, we want that physical presence around us. We want that security. We want that love from mother or father or siblings, or even as we get older, friends, whatever it might be, animals, but we can't feel it physically. Mm-hmm. We can only say, okay, what the medium is saying, you know, is true and accurate, but We hope that it will bring that evidence through that will help the healing process, either help it along or help it begin in some way, to know that, you know, it's not a permanent state, that inevitably we're all going to go through the change called death.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody is immortal. We know that. And so at some point in our life, we're going to be with them again in the same energy. But in the interim, they're still with us because they can be with us. They can be with their loved ones on the other side. They can be with their loved ones here on the physical. But I think that, you know, most of us, including myself, you know, I miss, you know, the hug from my grandmother or my mother.
Yeah.
I miss hugs from friends that have passed and just hearing their voice. And, you know, they'll contact me. I'll get little blips here and there. I'll be taking a shower and, you know, I could hear a friend that passed and something she would say to me, or my mom, I know she's around, whatever validation they try to bring through, either a sign or just like hearing them or just knowing they're there, just feeling the energy. It's like, I want everybody to feel that. I want everybody that's grieving to be able to feel that connection. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's something that could be learned, right? And improved upon, isn't it?
Connecting with loved ones past?
Yeah, something that we can, you know, actually learn. Like, I heard that everybody is a medium to a certain extent. Just
right.
Like some people are more musical than others.
Exactly.
Some people have that ability better than others. But it's something that we can all work on to improve.
We can, but we have to believe in it. And that's where sometimes the issue comes up where that, you know, the filter turns on and says, wait a minute here. But, you know, in my religion or, you know, from what I've experienced, I've never communicated with a loved one. Just people just go and that's it. Never hear from them. So how am I going to believe that I can do this if I don't even believe a medium can do it? You know, I think belief, like everything else, is just, it's half the battle, belief and trust, you know, even for a medium. To be able to learn to bring forth that evidential communication, it's about believing that we can do it. It's about trusting that we can.
Yeah.
You know, as two of the main components anyways. Of course, you know, it's about letting go of our own ego and our own, you know, worries about is it going to be right? Is it going to be wrong? Are they going to understand it? We just have to act as a pure channel because that's what we're here to do.
Easier said than done to let go of the ego, especially because that's
it is, especially for beginner people that are starting to open up, you know, to spirit, learning mediumship. For people that are in classes, you can imagine it's even more difficult for those who just lost a loved one and want to know how they can communicate with their loved one and get that, you know, the evidence to say, oh, there's no doubt in my mind that they were here, they are here with me, without having to say go to a medium. You know, and we can do it, but we have to work on it. It's a learning process. We have to, you know, it's a place in our mind energy or maybe in our brain or maybe both that we don't really access in our life, that we have to learn how to open that up, just like our intuition. I think we have to understand that energy communicates back and forth all the time, both here in the physical and in the non-physical presence.
Right.
You know, it's quantum physics, right? So, you know.
Yep.
But we have to trust it, you know.
Fascinating. I love quantum physics.
And you can put science books in front of people and say, here, I'm going to prove to you that energy never dies and this and that.
Yep.
And it's right there and the facts are right there. But to get somebody to believe in the true facts of this, especially when they're grieving, as much as they want to, some people overbelieve and they will say, you know, they'll take one thing and say that's, you know, a big thing or whatever. And they just leave it at that and say, okay, I know my loved one's here because the person got their name and the name's John. You know, it's like, it's got to go further than that. You know,
it does.
Some stuff
Absolutely.
Can be picked up in the aura of a person when you're reading them. You know, energy is energy, right? So we don't really stop there. We try to get as much as we can on any given day and put the best intentions out there for those who are grieving. It's so important. And it's so important to people for people to hopefully someday get through the grief or move through it in a way that they can accept and move on with their own life, which is the biggest struggle that people have when they lose a close loved one, of course. And as you know that, Roman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't ever go away, but it can get better. It doesn't ever go away.
Yeah. I mean, for me, what makes it, made it get better at time, of course. It makes the waves a little bit smaller, the waves of grief and all that, but also helping other people.
Yes.
It's probably a really good therapy. You know, just doing this show, as a volunteer, I'm not a professional interviewer. I'm not like, a very extremely smart guy. I'm an average person.
You're doing a great job. Thank you very much, Roman.
But just, I'm just doing it out of my heart to help. And it makes me feel a little bit better. So I think I urge people to do the same thing. And also I would urge people, you listeners, to go to YouTube and put in a double slit experiment. Okay. And that was the birth of quantum physics, the double slit experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The observer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The observer effect. Objects.
I mean, that is science. That is pure science that cannot be, cannot be tricked or cannot be, it is what it is, basically.
Yes, it is. And we have to believe it because we have facts, right?
Well,
how can we not believe in something if we don't have facts? You want facts. People are looking for proof that the afterlife exists, so they don't have to say, I'm never going to see my loved one again, or my child, whoever it might be. It's just so destructive to their own life. And most of it is maybe even unexpected.
Yeah.
Like you never thought you were going to lose your son before you would go. You thought you were going to go.
But it's not normal for that to happen.
No, it's not. It's not. And because you've been through it, how it can really disrupt someone's life in such a way that you feel so lost. Besides anger and sadness and confusion and, it all, it's overwhelming to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's up for a long time.
If we can,
pardon my French, it screwed me badly for a long time. But
it does. It really does. Better. It does a job on people.
So real quickly, for those of you that are curious about the double slit experiment, it basically, it's a particle of light that is, bombarded through shot through a screen and lands on a second screen. And whether that experiment is being observed or not, the light that ends up on the second screen is either like a kind of like a wave, or it's a dot based on whether it was a because a light beam can be a particle or it could be a wavelength. So by observation, it collapses the wave, which is a potential, into a particle, and it cannot be tricked. People have tried to do delayed experiments where it's done, observed later, and they can't trick it. It just works every single time. So it's kind of cool. So look at it, folks. Just Google it or go on YouTube, double slit experiment, and you'll see what I mean. Anyhow, it's really nice to have you on the show. You're welcome. Tell us a bit about, did you start having mediumistic abilities like just naturally, or was it something that you learned, you developed over the years? How did you get into that?
So I would say a bit of both. When I was younger, I was a very sensitive child. It's like I could hear people's thoughts and just thought everybody thought, everybody could do that. I would just kind of know, I remember being in, fourth or fifth grade, especially, and remembering that I knew what the teacher was going to ask everybody to do. And sometimes I would know what somebody was going to say. It wasn't all the time, but it was just
more psychic abilities, right?
That's psychic. So I always had, I felt like I had something going on. Then as I got older, of course, I had experiences with dreams and walking in my sleep. I had all kinds of, things happened when I was younger. I was a sleepwalker, sleep talker. So I think I was always communicating with somebody, later when I learned, about mediumship and spirit energy. And then after my grandmother passed, I was around the age, almost 13, and I saw a glimpse of her, like almost transparent image of her sitting at the edge of my bed. My bed felt like it was moving, like like rocking. And sometimes my grandmother would babysit for us. She would put us to bed at night, and she would literally put her hand on us and kind of rock us as kids and like sing to us in old, you know, Yiddish, old Yiddish songs or, you know, Yiddish lullabies. And so that was a big memory. And that's the first thing I thought of is she's here with me right now. I can't sleep because, you know, now I'm up and I want to talk to her. I see her in my room. And so that was the experience, I guess, first seeing spirit. And then later in life, I was about 15 years old, and a couple of friends had lost their mothers from breast cancer. And I always worried about my mother getting sick because she was actually a very strong woman, and I never saw her get sick. I think one time I saw her get a cold, and it was like gone in 2 days. But my mother was very healthy. She was very energetic, very strong woman. And after my second friend lost her mother when I was in high school, I just got down on my knees and went into prayer position with my hands, which growing up Jewish, that's not something that we do. We don't kneel to pray. But right. I felt like I really needed to tell God something. And at that point, of course, I didn't know really what God was, like I know now or feel it is now. Nobody. And I asked, I said, God, I said, I prayed. And I said, please don't give my mother cancer. Please keep her healthy and safe. And I want you to help me so that my mother doesn't get cancer like my friend's mothers did. And it was just a few years later, in my early 20s, that my mother was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Uh-huh.
And I remembered at that time, you know, because my mother never got sick. I was shocked. I was like, oh my God, I heard that. But I could never tell anybody that I heard it until, of course, now I'm around people that understand that. I have been for a couple of decades. So it was easier to share that, you know. But back then I thought, oh my God, did I cause this? I didn't know what was going on. It was like a man's voice I'd heard. And I thought, well, I must be making this up in my mind, right, because of my fears. Then later I realized like it was a warning, you know, it was like somebody was trying to tell me, but I didn't know what to do with it back then. You know, I didn't know how to process it. I just figured it was my imagination or something creepy to me. It scared me. But then when it happened, I was like, wait a minute, now this all makes sense. You know, it was still like 6 years later, you know, and so that's when I really felt I started to hear spirits. And then I started to take classes. I was always interested in the paranormal. Like I took some parapsychology classes outside of college, you know, like non-credit type things at the school that offer evening classes. So my friends and I took take dream classes and some parapsychology classes. Then I found out I could take classes in Salem. You know, that they actually teach this. And I went for a reading, and that's how I found out. And that was in my mid-30s. And then before I knew it, I was working in Salem as a psychic, of all places, right? The psychic center of the universe, Salem, Massachusetts. So I found myself, like, doing readings. And then a few months later, it was like 6 months after I had my first reading, I was doing practice readings and taping them and trying to learn from it. And then I was, you know, professionally hired as a psychic at the shop. And then from there, it wasn't much later that I started teaching development circles in Salem. And then after that, it was kind of like I explored other teachers to help me elevate my mediumship. And so that's where I ended up, and I ended up working with some of my teachers and traveling with them. I was very, very blessed to have really great evidential teachers and
are any of
opportunities.
These teachers associated with Forever Family Foundation, maybe?
Unfortunately, not. The person that I'm referring to is not. None of the teachers were from Forever Family. I don't even know if Forever Family was in existence back then. Is back in 1999. And of course, there are a lot of great medium teachers that are Forever Family certified mediums. It's a blessing to have their
absolutely
their presence and their energy with us. Their help.
Yeah, you've gone through a lot of clinical testing and everything. Do you still do any of that kind of stuff where they test your abilities or anything like that? Or
I do. I was actually involved with the Yale study at the Powers Lab at Yale University. So I was there and went through a full, very intense day of testing. But actually, it was a study that was testing mediums, and I suppose the general population too, or people that had Alzheimer's, to try to figure out about how they could work, what they could learn from mediums to help people with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that would be a big help to society. Because
yeah, so it's not just like to figure out what mediums do. I think they've, well, not all the way there, but Winbridge and for family and the other scientific organizations have been doing a lot of research, have a lot of data, but of course it never ends. You know, we want to see it on the headlines of, you know, the, or the Atlantic magazine or something. Science is proven.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mediumship is science is for real, that people, we really do, you know, live beyond the physical change called death. And I would love to be able to be part of that someday and prove it. But if I can prove it even on the level that I'm working now, it's good because people are getting healed. People are understanding, people are opening up to believe, and it also helps them on their spiritual path. And it opens their minds and their hearts up to more spiritual things and really good stuff for them, you know, and healing for them, which is a blessing.
Fantastic.
So, you know, it's whatever spirit wants that person to have, or God or the universe, whatever you believe in, I say spirit, then it's there at that time in that amount or whatever it is, because that's exactly what they need at that time, you
Absolutely.
Know? And so,
nice.
You know, we work with the universe every day, right?
We work with the universe every day. We have a Bostonian online waiting to.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We got Michelle from Boston on line one. So let's get her onto the show. Michelle, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
I had a question
for Joanne.
Absolutely.
Hi, Michelle. Nice to meet
you.
Hi
there.
Hi.
I had a really unusual experience, oddly enough, last night, where a mist, a sort of a horizontal mist, appeared in my kitchen and was sort of free-floating with a sort of a slow sort of spinning amidst the mist is the only way I could explain it. It wasn't like smoke or like steam if you had a teapot on. It was just about 2 feet long, a horizontal mist, and I had to kind of step closer to it to sort of make sure I was seeing what I was seeing, because it just was so strange. And I wondered if this is a possible visitation from spirit.
So Michelle, thanks for sharing that with us tonight. I do feel intuitively that was a loved one. I do feel like it was a parent, and I know we're not doing readings tonight, so I'm going to put that out to you. You don't have to tell me if it is, you know, if you have a parent past, but that's what I felt, like someone's watching over you. I do feel that was energy from spirit. Sometimes it can be very quick, just, you know, from the peripheral vision, seeing the energy, seeing like a mist, or sometimes we just see it head on. Like I saw my grandmother, you know, at the foot of my bed, like I was just saying, if you were listening in, and it's like, just a quick, like, what is this? You know, but then you try to look closer and it's not there anymore. And I think they do that for a reason, because they don't want to scare us. They just want to let us, they want us to be able to receive, to open our minds that, you know, did you feel, can I just ask you if you felt it was apparent when you saw the energy?
I didn't sense that it was I just approached it more with curiosity because it was so unusual. I just kind of kept staring at it, and I kept saying to myself, am I really seeing what I'm seeing? You know, I just kind of kept second guessing it.
Yeah, we do, that's normal.
Yeah, I didn't feel a particular message or that it was a particular person. I just was trying to understand it. So that's why I thought I would ask you. And I mean, I certainly would like, you know, visitation from my loved ones in spirit, but I also don't want to invite any, you know,
it wasn't negative.
Any energy that's not positive in the future.
No, it wasn't negative. We only attract to us what we are. The law of attraction prevails. If you look up the 12 laws of nature, or the universal laws, or the laws of the universe, it's under different type of titles, different forms of titles. You'll see that that's one of the laws, and that is like, you know, you won't attract you evil spirits. And I don't have time to go into that, but that's a lot of that is exactly, and a lot of it is self-created. There's nothing to be afraid of. If anything, they come in love.
Yeah, I wasn't afraid at all. Yeah.
Okay.
No, but don't worry about,
you know, it being negative. Just, you know, if next time, if you have that, if it happens again, which it may not. Sometimes these are one-time experiences, and then they'll try to communicate in some other form. You know, it could be even you're walking down the street and a feather just floats in front of you and lands on the sidewalk in front of you, just a white feather. It could be something that, you know, that we're not looking for at the time, but then we see it and say, wait a minute, I wonder if that's my loved one just trying to let me know they're around. You know, it comes in different forms. So
I really kind of welcomed it. It was pretty exciting. So
yeah.
I appreciate
and when you
your,
welcome it, you're not afraid
that.
Of it. You're not pushing. Oh, you're welcome. You're not pushing it away when you're open to it, and nothing will ever hurt you. You know, if something feels scary, you just tell it, back off, literally, because energy communicates. But I don't think that will happen. If anything, you're creating your own fear about it. If you do, or if it ever happens, don't be afraid of it. You know, it's all that hysteria from Hollywood and all that, and horror movies and Stephen King novels, and all that kind of stuff that makes us so afraid of the unknown. You know, nobody wants to go there. Yes. His stories are pretty rich, too. His stories are.
Absolutely.
His movies.
I love Stephen King. He's awesome.
Yes, I do, too. I do, too.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well,
you know, the fact is
so
that
much.
It's like, you know, that's what people worry about, you know? People worry about, well, you know, are they going to hurt me or something? My loved one, you know, if I see a spirit, or, you know, it's like they come in peace and love. We just don't get random spirits usually that pop in to say hello, unless you're in a really haunted place or where there's, you know, energy there that, but that, like I said, general rule is that, you know, speaking to you about and intuitively about how I feel about what you experienced, Michelle, is that it's safe. It's a loved one, and embrace it.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Great question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. You know, while we're talking about experience, that reminds me of an experience that I had back in, I mean, this is a long time ago, 1988. I was still living in Montreal at the time, and I was with my girlfriend at the time. We were biking in this park right across the street from the Olympic Stadium where they had the 1976 Olympics. It's called the Maisonneuve Park. And it's a big park, and I'm looking, and it's kind of dusk. It's getting a little dark, and I'm going, what the heck is a tree trunk doing in the middle of a bike trail about 50 yards away from me? And, you know, I didn't think anything of it, so we just kept riding. And then I saw it from a different angle, and then that tree trunk split in half. And it just – so I'm going, what just happened? You know, it's this gray thing, and then I'm looking, it's getting darker, and it looked like a hooded, veiled, you know, kind of creature, like not a creature, but like almost a human form, but like in a robe kind of thing. And it was like, you know, at that time I wasn't into this stuff. So me and my girlfriend were like, all right, let's get the hell out of here. And we just took off. But you know, I swear to God that happened. I actually saw that with my own eyes. So it was just one of those.
Yeah, sometimes we just can't explain it. You know, we see these things, or we see things out of our peripheral vision, especially.
Yeah,
You
well,
know,
I was
like at
looking
the
right at
side of our eyes. Yeah.
it. I mean, I didn't get
Yeah.
close enough to make out any details on the face or anything like that, you know. Back then, you know, I guess I was reading too many Stephen King novels, so we just got the heck out of
Well, you don't know. It could have been something that manifested there. Someone,
Yeah.
you know, I don't know what it was, but
I don't know what it was
you know you had the experience and you know how real it felt to you, and that's what really matters.
either.
Because nobody else
Absolutely.
can really understand that unless, you know, they've experienced something like that, which I have. I've slammed on my brakes, like coming home on a dark, windy, like a wooded area where I swear somebody walked across the street. It's like 9 o'clock at night, in the middle of the winter. It's like, who's going to be like walking across the street in this wooded area, you know? So I swear, and I could say, you know, I could honestly say it was not an animal. It was too tall to be an animal. Whether it was a spirit or was it, I don't think it was a person. I think it was a spirit, you know, the energy. I saw the energy. But at first I thought it was a person, you know, driving, coming up to it, and then it was gone. And it's like, what was that? There was something there because, you know, my immediate reaction was start, slow down, put on your brakes, you know, something's there. But, you know, and then I don't know who it was. I couldn't tell you.
Well, yeah.
I know I experienced it, but I may never know what it was, but it was something, you know. So
Very
there's a lot of
strange.
things I experienced that I just, it's like, wow, that was really wild,
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
when you least expect it, especially, you know.
Yeah.
And we have a an air machine in our bedroom, like an air filter, the air
Oh,
purification
purify.
machine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it makes noise, like white noise. And honest to God, every night it's a concert. I hear, and my partner also hears it, so it's not just me. Like people playing saxophones and trumpets and singing and people clapping their hands and you hear like dishes. It's like, oh my God. It's like I don't know whether it's just a parallel universe or it's somebody from spirit. But we both hear it. And my
You can
partner is
start
not a medium
recording
and
it.
is really scared of stuff like that. So, you know, I know
Yeah.
it's like I'm hearing it when they
Yeah.
hear it, and it's, you know, but you know, can I explain it? I'm not sure what it is, but it's definitely real somewhere.
Yeah.
And I
Try to
just think
record
we
that.
don't, yeah, I probably should, but you know, of course,
Record
when
it
it
and play it
happens, it's
back and see if.
2 o'clock in the
Too
morning, and you
bad.
just don't feel like getting your phone out. And then, of course, when you do, it's gone, right? So you have to be there at the right time to catch it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I wish I could, but I at
absolutely.
least I have a witness. It's not just me, or I'm not the only one hearing it. Somebody who's not a medium is hearing it too, which even is more validating.
Wow.
But you know, I think we just don't know enough. You know, we have so much more to explore that
Oh,
learning
yeah.
about spirit communication and of course psychic energy, that's just scratching the surface. I think that
There's so much we don't know about this world.
it's pretty
Even
amazing
the
though, you
history,
know,
yeah. You
it's
know,
fascinating.
whatever designed this, like, is it's really complex when you think about it. You know, like
The architect, yeah.
everything just comes together. You know, it's
I
crazy.
know. It's interesting. The synchronicities are even more fascinating to me. It's, you know, those are the best signs, you know, when things just happen the way they're supposed to, and you know you're on the right path with personal or somebody from spirit, you know, giving you information, validation. It's so fascinating. And like I said, I think as time evolves, energy is evolving, just as we are evolving, and we're going to see a lot more happen that we are not aware of right now, you know,
Yeah,
that
and you know what?
as energy evolves.
Social media and the internet has really been a good thing for, you know, for spirituality, because it really is an avenue where it can be, you know, advertised and promoted out of the formal sciences sphere. You know, all the money's in the sciences, you know, if you could, that's where it all is. So they're not going to reach out and help out with this, because they want to, you know, keep keep everything materialistic. You know, that's their bread and butter. But I think with people getting together, you know, anybody in the world can, you know, communicate to anybody else in the world, and there's a lot that is learning. Hey, but listen, you alluded to the fact you grew up in a Jewish environment, and I just wanted to ask, like, from a Jewish perspective, like, did what you were doing and what you're feeling, like this whole medium thing, was it shunned upon? Like, you know, I know in Christianity, I was born and raised Catholic, And, you know, personally, I feel that religion and spirituality can and should go hand in hand, but a lot of religious people don't feel that. I'm just wondering, I mean, from the Christian perspective, I'm just wondering, did you experience any of those kind of feelings from a Jewish perspective?
Definitely. Yeah, it was more like, you know, it's just your imagination, you know, kind of thing. When I would say something that I experienced, to be like, you know, or a dream I had, oh, you know, it's just your imagination. But I don't think the Jewish religion really is an advocate for spirit communication, so to speak. But if you go back into Kabbalah or mystical Judaism, there was, of course, there wasn't women doing that, but there were men doing that, and it was talked about and spoken about. But I don't believe that they feel like the same as maybe Christianity does about, oh, you know, it's taboo and you know, you're talking to the devil. It's more like,
well, that's what I think the Jewish people, when I mentioned to my priest some of the experience I had, and he just said, be careful because, you know, the devil can disguise himself. And like, how do you argue against that? You know,
that's fear. That's like fear of the unknown. And, you know, like, I don't know exactly. I know from talking to rabbis about this, that they believe that you shouldn't bother the dead because it's like they're sleeping. You know, it's like, don't bother them. It's not like it's evil. But that was a perspective I got from one rabbi, at least, I spoke to. Another rabbi said they don't, you know, they're not proponents of it. You know, everybody, I guess, you know, Orthodox may look differently than, let's say, the Reformed Jewish sect. You know, there's three, you know, there's Orthodox and Conservative Reformed, but pretty much they're all probably in line with that. It's not something that they would like be open to. Unless they come from a more mystical perspective, but then again, they could be more Orthodox in that sense too. But in general, I'd say no. I'd say it's like Christianity. They're not, but they look at it differently. They don't look at it as like, I mean, the rabbi didn't say it was looked at as worshiping the devil, like, you know, Christianity, it's right in there. You know, they tell you that they proselytize with pamphlets that say, if you're, you know, getting a tarot reading or reading by a psychic or a medium or tools of divination, then this is speaking with the devil. You know, there's nothing like that I know of, at least that I'm aware of, that's as outright. They are right in your face saying this is, you know, devil's work.
I agree with you. I mean, that is exactly what it is. I guess at this point, you know, maybe one day they'll start, you know, walking hand in hand, religion and
I hope so, but because separatism comes from religion, right? Religion is a way to classify people as believing in this or doing that or that kind of culture or belief system, and it separates people, really. You know,
and
if
people
all believed in the same thing, maybe
it's a religion,
maybe not.
Than anything else, right?
All the wars have all been about religion. I mean, as far as I know, you know, going back to the beginning of time, it's been about, well, now it's more power and, you know, but when it really comes down to it, like you look at the war going on with Ukraine, I mean, I think
I'm Ukrainian, by the way.
I know you are, and so am I. My grandparents came from Kyiv.
Wow, no kidding. Do you speak any?
I don't. I speak Yiddish and a little Hebrew, but no Ukrainian. They spoke Yiddish because they were also from parts of Russia too, and Odessa and Belarus. So, there's a mix there. Lithuania too. There's a mix there. And they spoke Yiddish in their shtetl. Shtetl. Let me correct that. Shtetl, which Yiddish means village.
I know we're not doing any readings here, but what is your psychic prediction about the war in Ukraine? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think I know what I want. I want Ukraine to succeed.
Of course, me too. Obviously,
but and I pray every day for them too. And it's you know, I do feel in the end they will win. You know, people are afraid now because, you know, what's going on, what happened recently with Kim Jong-un and North Korea meeting with Russia. You know, you get these forces together, it's not good. but they've been together. They're just making it public. You know, they've been talking all along. I'm sure intuitively, you know, that this is nothing new, and they're trying to scare people. Of course, they're trying to scare the West. There's a lot of psychological tactics that are involved, but as far as the mechanics of the war, I think Ukraine can win this in the long run. Mm-hmm. It's going to be it's a long battle, but I think I'm really amazed at how well they've done and how well they keep doing,
they're
considering
very smart.
The size
smart.
Of Russia compared to Ukraine and the forces.
10 times bigger, 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. Ukraine's outnumbered 10 to 1.
It's like the forces of light are surviving and hanging in there, and they're not giving up. And that's what we need to do here in our country and all over the world. You know, otherwise we give in to the negative energies and people that want to control and have power.
Without getting too much into politics, you know, States can definitely learn some things from people of Ukraine that are just, you know, fighting to survive and keep their land and keep their culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right now, we have everything we want over here, and we're just really divided politically, unfortunately.
We are. And, you know, it's like, it's just history repeating itself. My grandparents used to share stories how they used to have to hide their money from the Cossacks, you know, would come out to their house and take their gold teeth and, you know, whatever they could sweep up, and they'd hide their money in the dirt in the backyard so they wouldn't lose all their anything they had that was of value. It was, you know, and there's been worse, you know, you look back at history. And so it's got to stop sometime, right? It's got to, we got to stop letting these historical wars keep repeating themselves. We have to stand up and unfortunately fight. But, you know, I think thoughts and prayers do a lot. Intentions do a lot. And I believe that in the end that they can succeed.
I believe so too. And I think they will. It's going to be at a high cost though.
It is. It is. And it's unnecessary.
To both sides.
You know, we need more love than war.
Yeah.
You know, the old saying back in the 60s, I used to have a poster in my room. It was like a fluorescent poster. Mm-hmm. I think my older brother or sister gave it to me. It says, "Make love, not war."
Yep, absolutely.
And that still prevails today. You know, we've got to love one another and care for one another instead of causing more problems for one another. And help others that need the help when they're down and when they don't have. And we can only do so much as a human being, as one human being. But in the collective consciousness of us all, that's when we can really make a difference.
Absolutely. And I think if the world becomes more spiritual, I truly believe there's going to be less wars and there's going to be less strife.
Yeah, it's the rise of consciousness, you know, opening up people's minds and saying, you know, what am I doing believing this? Or what am I doing battling this war or fighting back? You know, there's so many better ways to spend your energy and time than fighting, you know.
Yeah, of course. Hey, we
on any level. Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
We got another caller. So we're going to take Trisha from Florida. She's on line 3. So, Trisha, welcome. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. How you doing?
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Can you hear me okay?
Hi,
my
Trisha.
Audio is being a little weird.
No, we can hear you. You're a little faint. If you can speak up, that would be great.
Oh, hi. Yeah. I don't know what happened. So I was just, I had a question about, and I know you all were talking and about, you know, spooky things and positive. Sadly, I lost my daughter as a result of a car accident. It'll be 3 years ago coming up in December.
Oh, I'm
and
so, so
I
sorry.
Always, I feel like I've had some visits. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We said we're sorry.
Yeah, and
about your daughter.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I miss her dearly, and I do feel like I've had a couple of visitations from her. One when I was kind of halfway asleep, and I feel like she visited me, and we were laughing really hard together. It was a wonderful visit. And then I woke up and I started crying just from the happiness from it. But I guess, you know, it was really odd about 10 years before she had the accident, when I moved into my home, I got the weirdest feeling. We were very excited about moving into our house, but then I felt like I had something to the right of me, kind of a male's voice say, not in a strange way, but just somebody will die here. And, you know, it was 10 years after that that she did pass away. And again, I'm not trying to be, you know, spooky or anything. You all were talking about different things. And it was just something that's always stuck with me. We did have a, you know, a Bichon in that house that she lived to be 16 years old. And then she passed away while we lived in that house. And
but
I
she
thought,
was 16.
Well, okay, that was, you know, she lived a long, and my daughter, my daughter Ashley was 24. This was our dog previously that passed away. I guess what I'm just trying to say is this voice really stayed with me, and I was relieved, like, when the dog passed away, because I thought, well, maybe that was the meaning of that, you know, and of course that was very sad, but then while we were living in our house and my daughter had moved down to Florida, we were up in Virginia, you know, when she was in a car accident, and I thought, my goodness, you know, what was that voice talking to me? Was that like intuitive or it was just kind of, I guess it's just always, I've always wondered, you know, I've heard about soul plans and things, like if it was my soul or somebody.
I think that, just to let you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but, you know, it could be a lot of things, right? It could be a lot of things. Letitia, right? Your name is Letitia?
Trisha.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Trisha. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, I've had problems with the audio. So.
Oh, that's okay. I can hear you okay. So, you know, we can try to figure out, like, what was that? Like, I don't know if you were listening earlier when I shared my experience of the voice I heard when I was a teenager about my mom dying about 6 years later. And it was the same thing. It was a voice. It was a male voice that told me that my mom was going to get cancer and die. And she did. She actually did.
Well, and I came in at the end of that. And that's why, and I'm sorry I missed the beginning, because I'm like, I'm going to have to hear the recording. I was that. So thank you for
Yeah, you may want to listen to it later time. And the archives of Signs of Life Radio will be there for you to listen to again. But
no, I heard the end of that. Yeah,
and I had a very similar experience. And it was like shocking. It was like, it wasn't something I expected. I was praying that my mother would be healthy and wouldn't get cancer like my friends, my two friends' moms had. And so when it happened, it was 6 years later, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, and when it happened, I didn't know what to do with it. Just like you. It's like, where's this coming from? And what do I do with this? And you know, you don't, you kind of forget about it after a while, but then when it happens, you think back and say, oh my God, like somebody was warning me. Or was it my own intuition? Right. Was it my higher self trying to tell me, like intuitively, that something's going to happen? We don't know. I mean, there's no way even a medium or psychic could exactly say for sure that that was definitely your higher self, or that was a guide, or somebody from spirit. It was most likely your higher self. I think my higher self intuitively was trying to tell me that, you know, something's going to happen, just to kind of prepare you, even though we're never prepared. And of course, you never prepare to lose your child, as we spoke about earlier. And Roman also has lost a son. You know, we're never prepared. I haven't, but I've lost loved ones. And regardless, we're just never prepared, right? So when it happens suddenly, we're not prepared, even if we got a warning. So I would just say, you know, try to find comfort that it was your intuition speaking very loudly to you. Would it have made a difference? Would you have known what was going to happen, whether it was a dog, your daughter? No, it wouldn't have made a difference. Why did that come? You may say, why was I told that? Sometimes we don't have all the answers. You know, we know everything happens for a reason, even though we don't know why. At least that's the philosophy I live on.
Yeah.
And we just have to kind of take it at face value and say, there was something there that knew, whether it was you or a guide. Like I said, most likely my sense is it was your higher self. Like I feel with myself after that experience and learning, you know, communication, that it was my higher self communicating with me to kind of give me a forewarning, even though there was nothing I could do at all. There was nothing I could do to prevent that from happening, just like you couldn't.
Right.
Or your dog. But,
exactly.
You know, we try to make sense of things, and sometimes it's, we create more nonsense trying to make sense of things because we don't know how to really validate of exactly what that was and why it happened. Sometimes we don't always have the answers. You know,
do you think when we cross over, we will have answers? Joanne?
I think we'll have a lot more answers, but we may not have answers to everything. Mm-hmm. Because I think as we cross over, we're still evolving energetically, that we're not staying stagnant with what we took from the earth, that we're going to be learning more and maybe learning more about energy and how to communicate or how to help people here on the physical.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Trisha, thank you.
And so Joanne, I really appreciate that. I would like to share with you both, you know, I've ever since my daughter passed, I've been searching for her and obviously wanting her back. As you both know, it's very hard to lose your child.
Hard.
And thank you for just kind of my babbling. I wasn't really prepared to call in.
No, you weren't babbling. It's okay. We totally understood everything you were speaking about.
Just trying to.
I'm sending you lots of love and comfort. Loss. I'm very sorry. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for doing that and sharing that with us.
Hugs from us.
Thank you. I really appreciate you both so much. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. Wow, that was a very interesting call. I also think maybe if what you received, 6 years before your mom passed away and Trisha 10 years before her daughter passed away, if that was from spirit, I mean, why so long? Why such a gap? And the answer might be because there is no time on the other side.
That's true. But I don't, in my work, at least in my own experience, I don't get a lot of, I don't predict death. I just find it, if someone asks me, when they're going to die, when their parent is going to die, I tell them I just don't do that. Even though I may have a feeling, I don't want to be caught between what's, on the soul's agenda, what God, wants, whatever, the universe, whatever you believe in.
Yep.
I just find it's unethical because we could be very wrong, first of all. I mean, who knows, right?
Right. And if you are wrong, you're putting that person to living it's like,
and people, some psychics you can go to will tell you, anything you ask them, they'll give you an answer and they'll say, she's dying. And then, this person could live 5 years longer. And then where is that person who you told that their loved one is dying, going to die in a year? What are they supposed to think? They're in a panic for a year. They don't want to lose their loved one. Then they live longer and they're like waiting any moment for that person to die. I mean, that's how I would take it if someone told me that, if I was like that person going to see a psychic. But I don't know. I think it was just intuition. I mean, in my experience, loved ones don't predict, say, hey, grandma's going to go soon too. So, be there with her. They may say, spend time with her, but they don't talk about the passing.
Right, because if they did that, then why, what would stop them from saying, hey, the Powerball numbers are this,
Exactly, exactly.
That way.
You get anything, right? Anything you want. Exactly. Dial a spirit and get your answer. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. We try it, We talk to spirits all the time. We can only extract so much information. That's all we're able to do, and that's what it is right now, and we have to be satisfied with that we're getting something. We're getting some validations.
Joanne, this was the fastest hour I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow, it's over. Oh, I just looked at the clock.
Over.
My goodness.
It's over.
My
it's
goodness.
Couldn't
I feel like
it.
I just started talking to you.
I'm telling you, you're so easy to talk to. And it was just, I had a list of questions that I had prepared, but I didn't even go on into any of them. The conversation just evolved naturally. And that is the best
way
to happen.
Absolutely. Fabulous.
So,
again, I enjoyed it so much.
Well,
thank
for being
you.
On the show. So again,
thank
folks,
you for Joanne, doing this.
Yeah, joannegerber.com. I'm sure you can be booked online and all of that. And wish you all the best. And I can't wait to talk to you again.
And same here, Roman. You take good care and be well.
Okay.
And thank you everybody for listening and calling in. It's been a great night. Good night.
Good night, everybody.